Hello, welcome to your daily briefing, April the 11th, 2020. Let us pray. We thank you, Heavenly Father, that you continue to guide us day by day. You allow us to discover the things that are happening around us and how they are all the fulfillment of your word. We recognize how close we are to the return of your Son, and we ask, Lord, that you would give us the strength necessary to be ready for that day. Fill us with understanding today that we might continue to be strengthened thereby. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. As we look around us today at the coronavirus and the COVID-19 and all of the issues that are coming forward because of this, we recognize that this is indeed an indication of the soon coming of our Lord and Savior, as described in Matthew chapter 24. We've been told and warned in advance of all of these things that will come to pass. It occurred to me, however, that during the early years of the 1844 period, the 1842, 1843 period, when God's remnant people at that time were looking for the return of Christ, they had no idea that what was about to happen was something even more miraculous. Christ was about to leave the holy place and enter into the most holy place. But at that time, there were those who were then living and who had convinced themselves based on their interpretation of the scriptures that Christ would return. In fact, they had a date set. The fact of the matter is that it occurred to me that Satan was as angry then as he is angry now. And so I thought I would take a look at the history going back to that time. And I found a book entitled A History of Epidemic Pestilences from the Earliest Ages. The writer of the book is Edward Bascom, M.D. And the book was published in London in the year 1851. Now, let me give you the title of the book again, A History of Epidemic Pestilences from the Earliest Ages. Now, Dr. Bascom has taken a look at the pestilences and the epidemics that have occurred starting back in 1495 BC and coming all the way forward to 1848. I came across Chapter 8, which measures the epidemics and the pestilences from the year 1795 all the way through to 1848. And I thought I would share that with you today just to show you what was happening then when God's people were looking for Christ to come. And while all heaven was getting ready for Christ to leave the holy place and enter into the most holy place. Chapter 8, the title of the book again, A History of Epidemic Pestilences from the Earliest Ages, by Dr. Edward Bascom, published in 1851. I'm going to start from the year 1841 because we could go back further than this, but I'm going to start right here because I want to make this connection with us. In 1841, a plague raged in Syria with great violence. During this period extending to the following year, 1842, an epidemic religious ecstasy, as it was called, prevailed in Sweden. This singular epidemic malady was distinguished by two prominent and remarkable symptoms, one physical, consisting of spasm or involuntary contraction or contortions, and the other mental, being an ecstasy, more or less involuntary, during which the patients fancied themselves divinely inspired and felt impelled to speak of supernatural things which they fancied they saw. Now remember the year I'm talking about, 1841. They were occasionally moved to preach. It was the female portion of the community that suffered most. Anything offensive to the mind reacted convulsively on the body, causing a sort of chorea, which it was attempted to distinguish or divide into two distinct forms of the disease called mental and physical chorea. Several thousand persons were attacked by the disease. It was rarely fatal. Persons who had been affected when convalescing felt languid and debilitated, both in body and mind. Yellow fever at this period was fatal at Key West, East Florida, and in the United States. Early in 1841, remittent fever occurred among the crew of the Wanderer, a ship belonging to the Royal Navy, chiefly among the boat's crews, who had been employed in the River Nunez and Pongos. 70 persons were taken ill, and 9 died in the course of this year. Remittent fever prevailed in many other Queen's ships employed on the African coast to put down the slave trade. Now remember, I just read to you from that book, A History of Epidemic Pestilences from the Earliest Ages. And I just read about what is happening, what was happening in the world in 1841. Satan was busy then. He was busy then as he's busy now because he understood then that something marvelous was about to happen. Yes, it is true. We had misunderstood the interpretation of the prophecy and we thought that Christ was actually coming. But something even more marvelous than that was taking place because this was the beginning of that intercession that Christ was going to make, moving from the holy place to the most holy place. Satan was not about to stay quiet. 1841 and 1842, not only did they have a plague, but they had something called an epidemic religious ecstasy. Now, I was drawn to this immediately because I can only imagine that there could only be one source for something like that. Let me just read this again for you. During this period, that is 1841 to 1842, there was something called an epidemic religious ecstasy, as it was called, prevailed in Sweden. This singular epidemic malady was distinguished by 2 prominent and remarkable symptoms. 1 physical, consisting of spasm or involuntary contractions or contortions. The other mental, being an ecstasy, more or less involuntary, during which the patients fancied themselves divinely inspired and felt impelled to speak of supernatural things, which they fancied they saw. They were occasionally moved to preach. It was the female portion of the community that suffered most. Anything offensive to the mind reacted convulsively on the body, causing a sort of chorea. Persons who had been affected who, when they were convalescing, felt languid and debilitated, both in body and mind. Yellow fever at this period was fatal in Key West, Florida, in the United States. Early in 1841, remittent fever occurred among the crew of the Wanderer, a ship belonging to the Royal Navy. And it said here, 70 persons were taken in Nunez, Pongos, and 9 died. In the course of this year, remittent fever prevailed in many other Queen's ships employed on the African coast to put down the slave trade. In AD 1843, blight seized on the potato crop this year throughout the United States and also in British America. Epidemics known by the popular name of the Black Tongue broke out in November 1843 in Ripley County, United States, and traversed most of the townships of the Delaware, Durbon County. This disease, Dr. Sutton says, has either assumed several characters or we have several epidemics traversing the country together. One was connected with the sinus tonsillaris, or the swelling of some of the lymphatic glands in the throat. And another was considered to be the typhoid pneumonia, sometimes accompanied by enlargement of the auxiliary glands. These 2 diseases, continued the writer, have been so intimately connected in my practice that it has been a question to me whether the last was not a pulmonary encephalitis, the premonitory symptoms in each disease being alike, the character of the fever in each being the same. And it was often the case that one form of the disease changed into that of the other. The disease was not generally fatal. Boston in the autumn of this year was visited by an epidemic fever. It prevailed also at a place called Erie in the county of New York. During the months of October and November, this little town, or rather settlement, Erie, is made up of some half dozen houses containing a population of 43 persons, of which number 28 were seized between the 19th of November and the 7th of December. At the time of all of this, there was no yellow fever prevailing at New Orleans. In fact, there had not been any case of the disease in any place along the river. Consequently, it could not have been imported. Nearly every one of the town was seized, and the mortality was great, 7 to 10 dying daily in so small a population for the first week. The disease was very rapid in its progress. The patients were suddenly seized with violent pains in the head and loins, and with burning fever. In a short time, vomited of a blackish fluid, similar to coffee grounds, ensued, and a few hours, death closed the scene. Now that happened in 1843. And of course, by now you realize the time that I'm talking about here. There were those who had studied the Word of God and were looking for the Lord to return around that time. Yes, let me say again, they had it wrong. But something fantastic was about to happen around that time. There were those who had asked for forgiveness for their sins, and they were looking for the Lord to come. But Jesus was not coming to this earth. He was getting ready to move from the holy place to the most holy place to begin his work as a lawyer on our behalf. But the incredible righteousness that pervaded those on the earth at that time, who had given their all to Christ. The pioneers were getting ready, and they had spent their time making sure that their lives were clear and clean before God. And I want you to understand that because of that, and because of the fact that these men, some of these men who had not always been close to the Word, but led by the Holy Spirit, now were beginning to study. Because of that, Satan was upset. And you notice here that as I'm reading to you, and the author of this piece of history and this investigation has no connection whatsoever to the remnant church. But the years that he is discovering these diseases and these impacts. Full kind of sicknesses coincide directly with what the children of God were looking for in their lives. Notice what the chapter continues to say. It says, at the time there was no yellow fever prevalent at New Orleans. In fact, there had not been any case of the disease in any place along the river. Consequently, it could not have been imported. Nearly everyone in the town was seized, and the mortality was great, 7 to 10 dying daily in so small a population for the first week. In 1842 and 1843, cholera in a sporadic form raged with considerable violence in many parts of Persia, continuing at intervals during the two subsequent years. In 1844, yellow pestilence committed great ravages at Gori in Senegal. During the year 1845, the blight among the potatoes spread rapidly through Germany, Holland, Benjamin, and northern parts of France, and over the great portion of England, Scotland, and Ireland. This pestilence reappeared the year following, in 1846. A phenomenon worthy of notice was observed during the prevalence of this disease, to wit, the existence of a mist or fog immediately previous to the blight in the crops. In Holland, a thick, stinking mist, which extended very widely, was observed in 1845, antecedent to the potato blight. Mr. Pettit states that it was generally remarked in France that the disease made its appearance after a fog. In England, the same phenomenon was observed. Now, I just wish I could get my hands on this book and send it out to all of you so that you could read these chapters for yourself. But the fact of the matter is that it occurred to me that such an important event that it was taking place in 1843, beginning back in 1836, all the way through to 1844, 1845, could not have been accidental. The same God that was willing to prepare the hearts of those who had studied his word and had come together and asked for forgiveness and with repentance and humility began to prepare themselves. They did not know that they were preparing themselves to be witnesses, cleansed before God at the time when our Lord and Savior would move from the holy place into the most holy place. They thought that Christ was going to come to the earth. Fact of the matter is, every time the priest during the sanctuary service moved from the holy place to the most holy place to do the cleansing back in the days of the sanctuary, there was always a group of individuals outside of the sanctuary who had cleansed themselves before God and who had prepared themselves to stand in witness to these events. The day of cleansing was always one of importance. And let me say it again, every time, every year, once a year, when the high priest was going to move from the holy place into the most holy place, there was always a group of individuals on the outside in the court who had cleansed themselves before God, had been given time to do that. So it was when Jesus was going to move from the holy place into the most holy place in heaven, there was a group of individuals on this earth who had cleansed themselves before God. They thought that Christ was coming, and I believe that that would have been the motivation of the cleansing that they went through. But they were cleansed. Now that is a fantastic thing to consider. Imagine all of these people who were looking for the coming of the Lord. They were that group of individuals outside the sanctuary who are standing there cleansed and ready as the high priest, Christ Jesus, moved from the holy place into the most holy place. At the same time, while this is happening, the enemy of souls pours out disease, cholera, all kinds of things on the earth at the same exact time. And you and I need to understand something, something very important. Satan does not sit still. He always moves. He always pushes. And what we're seeing happening now is not accidental. It is his hand moving against God's people, an attempt to destroy, an attempt to subvert. But you and I need to make sure that we are cleansed before God as we stand as witnesses. Just as that group of individuals, the children of Israel, stood outside in the courtyard as the high priest moved from the holy place into the most holy place. Just as we stand today in this situation, we must cleanse our hearts before God, asking him for forgiveness. Just as the pioneers cleansed themselves, thinking that Christ was coming then, and Christ moved from the holy place into the most holy place, we must follow their example and ask God to cleanse us as we get prepared for the coming of the Lord. Let me show you a few more dates here. In 1846, during the March of the Mormon Worshippers across the desert on their road to the new state of Deseret in Utah, after their expulsion from Navajo, they were generally afflicted by epidemic disease, chiefly remittent and yellow fevers. In one camp alone, 31% suffered, and the road was marked throughout with the graves of those who perished. You see similar pictures today of hundreds of coffins just lying in churches, without anyone near them. Continuing, they also suffered much from a kind of strange sorbutic disease, which they named the black canker, and which was frequently fatal. Notice the years that I'm dealing with here, and I wish I had time to really expand this and show you how many of these things occurred around this particular period of history. I began at 1841 this morning, but I could have gone back before that. But I want you to understand that any time that God is getting ready to do something special, Satan gets upset and he begins to do something. He begins to move. He begins to push. And this is not the only time he is moving. And this is not the only time he's pushing. He pushed back then too, when Christ was getting ready to move from the holy place into the most holy place. He began to push then too. But the beautiful thing about this story is that the pioneers were exempt from these diseases. They were not assaulted. They were not attacked. And the reason why they were not assaulted and they were not attacked is because the angels of the Lord protected them. And you and I need to understand that God will do the same for us today if we trust in Him. Well, the name of the book, A History of Epidemic Pestilences from the Earliest Ages, from 1495 BC to 1848. The writer of the book is Dr. Edward Bascom. And I want to suggest to you this morning that every time God is getting ready to do something special, Satan gets upset and angry and begins to try to see if he can undo or subvert. But I want you to have confidence in God today and understand that God will always stand with you if you stand with Him. Do not be afraid. Never fear. We thank You, Heavenly Father, that You continue to show us the way, that You have given us example after example of all of the things that we have seen. We ask You, Lord, that You would give us the strength necessary, that we will stand with You and for You, and that we will be a powerful witness in Your behalf. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. This has been your daily briefing, April the 11th, 2020.